My name is John O'Sullivan of the Munster Bar, Ballymore in Tralee, and I'm here in the company of Kaya Flynn in my kitchen living room over the bar.
John, you were saying to me earlier that you've been here for a number of years, but your career in the Munster Bar didn't begin here in the Munster Bar. So tell me where you first began with your life.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was bred, born and reared in the village of Ferndfore, which is only 11 miles out the road from Tralee, as you know. When I attained the age of 19, I got a job as a trainee psychiatric nurse in Our Lady's Hospital in Cork. And I spent 3 years there when I qualified there, and I subsequently transferred to St. Finan's Hospital in Killarney, where I spent another 17 years. And I spent 2 years after that in Tralee General Hospital, as it was then known, in the psychiatric unit there in Rees Ward. And in the interim period from 78 to 84, I had a franchise on the catering in the airport bar in Ferndfore. So I remained there for 6 years, and it was hard work, but it was very, very interesting. And it was good to me. And ran a lot of different events while I was there. It was a venue that had very few people living around there, so basically we had to create events to bring the people in. And I ran dart tournaments, pool tournaments, soccer tournaments, quizzes. We used to have whist drives every Thursday night. We ran a lot of card games there, and on one occasion, I ran a card game, and the prize was a return trip for two to New York.
Oh my God.
And it was only £1 to enter. So the trick was, you had 64 tables at £1 each, so you can do the maths in that. It didn't cover the tickets, but I also got a bit of sponsorship from Conan's Travel in Killarney, because at that stage I had been to New York on a number of occasions for different family events. And that was, I think, there wasn't. It was a very novel prize at the time, you know. And we came here then. We were living down in Lawrence Cross, my late wife, Marion, and myself, and our four children. And from 84 to 88, I was out of the bar trade. But I suppose I was bitten by the bug. And in 1988, we bought the Munster Bar. And we also purchased the house adjacent to it. Mm. When we bought the bar, it was only 20 feet wide. And there was a derelict house to the left of it, which we bought. Subsequently, on the strong advice of our architect, we had to knock the whole bloody lot and build a new place. So the Munster Bar, as you see today, it's actually a new building.
And I couldn't imagine it.
Yeah, well, when I was buying it, I didn't imagine it either. But, but you know, when after moving in, we were very fortunate to have a very good base of customers, mm. very loyal customers, lovely people, never any problems much. Basically, the between buying it, rebuilding it, I'd say the place had paid for itself in about 10 years. No, we worked very hard at it. You know, we put in a lot of hours, but you have to. There's no substitute for hard work that I know of anyway, unless you win the lottery or something. Mm-hmm. We've been very fortunate over the years to have a good base of people and loyal customers and nice type of clientele. Mm-hmm. And we're here now 36 years, and as I often say to guys, you only get 7 years from murder. You know, it's a long sentence.
John,
we enjoyed.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued to know, why did you want to become a psychiatric nurse?
Yeah, that's interesting. I spent 5 years going to boarding school with the John of God Brothers up in a place called Kilcrony in County Wicklow near Bray. And they were a nursing order of brothers, and I suppose I had a flavour of that. We were given a flavour of that in the school, insofar as each student would be allotted chores each week, and one of the chores would be tending the people, carrying the food to the to the. There was also a nursing home attached to the school, and we used to be attending to the clients there in the nursing home. And I always like helping people, and you know, I thought psychiatric nursing, I thought would be to be another way of to be something that I'd like to do. And I suppose the other thing was that when I left school, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, and I didn't get a very good leaving cert. So it was my choices were narrow enough. It was either that or the guards. So anyway, that's what I did anyway. And you know, I often say to people, and I have four daughters, and I often say to them, look, you could start out in life as one thing and you would wind up with something totally different, you know. And that was unusual, say 40-45 years ago, you know, when I branched out into other things. But in today's world, sure,
you could be anything,
you know. Mm-hmm. And the main thing is to be happy doing what you're doing, you know. I hate to think that I'd be working at something that I didn't particularly like. Mm-hmm. I enjoy doing what I do. Mm-hmm. And you know, I suppose as a person gets older, it gets a bit harder. But you know, I suppose the other side of the coin, it probably keeps a person young, because you have to tug out.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You must have found it tough, but you must have enjoyed it as well if you kept at it for over 20 years.
Oh, I did. I enjoyed the camaraderie of the people I worked with, and they were pretty. I often look back and I often think how talented they were. There were guys that were into all different kind of pastimes, or maybe modern pastimes at times. But the patients, they were very, very interesting, and there were some great characters among them. You know, they were great fun. And you'd have a bit of crack with him. So there were some great characters there, like, you know. Great fun. Like, a lot of these people they were basically institutionalised, like, and the hospital was their home. Mm-hmm. And I must say, you know, from what I saw of it, the clients were very, very well treated there, you know, very well treated. I often said over the years to some of my mates that if I was ever, when St. Finan's was opened, if I ever attained old age, and if I needed some place to be taken care of, the St. Paul's ward, I said, would be a good place to be. Mm-hmm. It would be well taken care of. Yeah. So, you know, it was a great experience. But I think, you know, I think it's nice to do different things in life. And I suppose at about the age of 43, I ceased working the health service. Mm-hmm. And I allotted the rest of my life to building up the business and taking care of it. And I enjoy that, and mm-hmm. it gives me a lot of freedom. I've somebody said to me one day, it's great to be your own boss. And I said, look, unfortunately, I have about 300-400 buses. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're my customers, they're the buses. But that being said, I'm just like the leader of the orchestra. I just waved the baton. And
John, what was it like when you pulled your first pint?
It's strange you should mention that, because I never pulled a pint till I was 27 years of age, and that was the first day that I started in the airport, the airport bar in Fanfor. And my wife got dressed in Marion, and my brother Pat got dressed him. They were behind the counter, and I was there swanning around, avoiding any orders from anybody, because I couldn't pull a pint. In those days, a pint was pulling a pint, there was a bit of an art to it. Mm-hmm. It's quite simple today, but there was a bit of an act in those days. And the next thing was my wife and my brother, the two of them disappeared and left me at the mercy of the waves, and I had to tug out, and I never looked back.
Yeah. Was it tough?
Oh, I was very nervous. Well, you know, I often, over the years, I remember my time in the airport, if somebody broke a glass, you'd nearly bar them over it. Like, you know, it was a serious offence. Mm-hmm. And in today's world,
people cheer.
If somebody breaks a glass, you thank them for not falling on top of it and claiming off you. you know.
Yeah.
That's where it's gone, like, you know.
Over the years, you've had many people coming in here into the Munster Bar, but you had Sean Hurley coming in here twice.
I had. Sean did he did two lovely programmes for us over the years. One was to do with the O'Shea brothers, who are fantastic musicians and singers locally. And he did a beautiful programme on them. And he also did another programme on my family. All my daughters are singers. Mm-hmm. Katrina is full time between teaching the music and doing stuff in TG Cahir and writing songs and recording songs. You know, she's hugely immersed in music. And my other three daughters, they also sing. And on the night we also brought in my neighbour, my ex neighbour, Michael Gaffney, who's a gifted musician and a fine singer too. And he tugged out, and I even sang an old song myself, and we good fun. And it also coincided with the arrival of our first grandchild. So he made a few geeks, yeah. Yeah, so we had a lovely night with Sean. Yeah, Sean was a superb interviewer. And
John, tell me, where has the music brought you in your family? Where did it all begin?
The music, I suppose, I would say that my mother, God rest her, she was her father used to, my grandfather, he used to play the concertina. And recently I saw a program on television how concertinas in the county of Clare are extremely popular. And there are some lovely concertina players up there, apparently. But the concertina became popular in Ireland because it was the cheapest musical instrument, apart from mort organ you could get. That's where the concertina came out of. So I saw my grandfather put me into as much as he could afford was a concertina. But anyway, he used to play for weddings and stuff like that, you know. And he was my mother, I suppose, she brought the music, I'd imagine, from him. Mm. And if she was talking about somebody, she had no amassing material gains or material wealth, but people that were very high in her priority were a fellow who was a good dancer, or a fellow who was a good singer, or a man or a woman that was a very good musician. They were number one. Mm-hmm. Millionaires didn't count. Do you know, it was all about music. Mm-hmm. But as a young fella, I suppose I used to be singing, I used to hear. She used to also sing. My mother was a nice singer. she was making a attempt to write, playing the squeeze box, but she'd rattle a tune out of it. But I don't think she'd be in radio yet, or anything, like, you know, or radio Kerry either, for that matter. But I sing a few songs myself. I enjoy singing. Mm-hmm. I think any old part you'll go to, like, you know, if you could rattle an old song or two off from, like, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd be welcome most of the time, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, my daughter Katrina, she took to the music like a duck to water. She was fortunate to have a very good national teacher in Ferndale, a lady called Kathleen O'Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And she actually had a band in the school, and they played all different instruments, and she had also taught them singing. Okay. So she got a good start in it. And all my daughters, they all went to Audrey O'Carroll here in Tralee. And Audrey was a great influence on them, and a great tutor, great singing tutor. and you know, I suppose when they went at the singing first, there was a number of reasons why they were sent, apart from music at all. If people were into singing, they wouldn't be smoking. Mm-hmm. And you know, smoking wouldn't be good for you, as you know yourself. Getting back to the music, we were always, my wife Quadrester, well, she used to, she was a very arty type of person. She was a secondary teacher. She had a degree in Latin and history, and she taught until our second girl came the way, my daughter Eileen. She spent a lot of time when the girls would go to Audrey O'Carroll, she'd give them a tape of the lesson she'd given them. Mm-hmm. And she'd give them that to bring home. And my wife then would listen to that, and she'd be coaching them as to what it should be, the way to sing it and the notes and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it was, there was a lot of music in the house the whole time, you know.
Mm-hmm. You were never sick of it, so?
Huh?
You were never sick of the music?
Never. Mm-hmm. No, I find music, music fantastic. To say, when I'm at home at night, say sometimes if I'm going to sleep, I start singing or start playing songs, maybe say like Shenandoah, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, you know, a Gordon Lightfoot song, who passed away there last year. The year of that song that Gordon Lightfoot composed for another very popular song called I Wish I Was Back Home in Derry, that Bobby Sands wrote. Mm-hmm. And when Gordon Lightfoot was asked the question about taking a case against Bobby Sands over using his the air of his song, he said there'll be music after us. He didn't pursue anything. Mm-hmm. Which was noble of him.
But I suppose as well, from the Rose of Tralee, you probably have so many people coming here of all sorts.
Oh gosh, we do. We would. Over the years, we've had people come from all over the world. There was with the last 15 years or so, we're actually twinned with Texas, the Texas Rose Center, and they brought us some lovely memorabilia. And pictures and things to put up to decorate the wall. So we have one portion of a wall dedicated to them and to the rose, like, you know. But on one particular occasion, the then Taoiseach of Ireland, a fellow called Linda Kinney, his niece was the Mayor Rose entry, and or entrant, I should say. And he actually delivered the oration down in Béal na Bláth. You know, at the commemoration down there, the annual commemoration. So he came back up to Tralee that night, and it was a Sunday of the festival, and all his extended family were here, and he spent about 3 or 4 hours here in the Munster with us. And of course, everybody, lovely man, very plain man, kind of, as the fellow said, a man of the people. And I had a guy playing music at the same night, my next door neighbour, Michael Gaffney, and Michael is a retired teacher, and Indian himself had gone to the same training college. There was a year or two between them, all right, but they struck up a great rapport with each other anyway, and sure, everybody was taking pictures with him, and his security detail were outside the door, and I promise you there was no fear of him, nothing untoward. But at the end of the night, he gave a fantastic rendition of The West Awake.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was a fine singer, and of course Michael Gaffney, he gave him good backing, and he accompanied him admirably, of course.
It's not a night you get here often when you have Indy kind of coming in.
No, it's not. But you know, over the years they've been like, I suppose they've been a good share of kind of important people or famous people, well known people would be in, like, you know. But we'd have people from all over, from, I suppose, over with the festival, there'd be people from all over the world. But one fellow often sticks out in my mind. The first year we were twinned with I think it was New South Wales in Australia, and the girl came anyway, I can't remember her name, but there was two guys came with her, and one fellow was an ex-guard in Ireland who joined the police force in New South Wales, and he had a buddy with him who was about 6'5", very nice fella. He was touring Europe, and I said, the poor man, I think it was very scarce by him. So lo and behold, anyway, wasn't there a dress dance on, and he said to me, to know, would I have a dress suit at all? So I said I have, and he said, could he borrow it? And I said, no problem. And of course, you often heard of the boat boys, didn't you? When I'm about 5'10", he was 6'5", so you couldn't figure what happened. Like, the pants was halfway up his shin bones, like, you know. But and the coat was hanging off him because he was tall, tinfoil, like, you know. But and I did keep on the whole lot, and he went away and he was happy out, you know. But it was very funny, like, you know. Do certain people seek out no mind, but.
Yeah.
There was one man in. He was come here for years from Texas. He was a man called Phil Faulkner, and he had roots back in Derrymore, and a lovely, lovely man, a giant of a man. But he'd sing a couple of Irish songs, but he'd one, boy, the fields of Attenroy. He'd give it Billy, yeah. As I say around here, he'd give it a whiskey. <and all.
coughs> Finally, John, what are your hopes for yourself for the next 12 months?
I suppose the biggest hope I have now for the next 12 months would be, would you believe, I've a room booked in the Grisham for the All Ireland.
Optimistic.
And paid for, like you mentioned. Like there was two deals you could do. You could get one was to a deal. You pay extra amount of money, but you could cancel it. Mm-hmm. But I said, take no. I said, we're going for
that
it.
That room is yours.
That room was mine for the All Ireland. So, the biggest thing now that I'd like to see happening is for Kerry to win the All Ireland this year. Mm-hmm. I'm really heartened by the way they played the last day in Killarney. I know the Dublin game was up. It was a hiccup. But you know, I think maybe it was a wake up call.
Yeah.
I think probably the best team in the country must be at the moment must be Dublin, obviously. But if there's anything to beat him, I think it's going to be Kerry.